And welcome to episode 42 of the Star Trek Discovery podcast. I'm Brian.
And I'm Ruthie.
And for this very special episode, we are not going to talk Star Trek Discovery at all, or at least very little.
Yeah.
So what we are not going to talk about some of the episodes that we said we were going to talk about for this next one. We're not going to cover the long form feedback. We're not doing a round table this time around. Instead, Ruthie got a press pass for SoonerCon, which was just this past weekend in Norman, Oklahoma.
Yep. My hometown.
Yes. And we were able to get exclusives for that conference, and Ruthie, why don't you just I'll leave it to you to explain.
All righty. Well, as you know, Brian, your friend Dr. Trek, Larry Nemechek.
Yes.
I guess he's an Oklahoma resident from a long time ago as well, so he calls Oklahoma home, as well as California. And I don't know how you guys started talking about it, so maybe you should tell that part of the story.
Well, I know Larry from his Portal 47, and he does Trekland.
Trekland, yeah.
It's, what is it called? Trekland Live, I believe, on Facebook every Tuesday afternoon. And of course, he also does the Trek Files podcast, which is an incredible going through the vault of Gene Roddenberry, and you hear all sorts of stories from the notes, all the notes about, you know, TNG and TOS, and even earlier than TOS stuff. It's quite fascinating stuff. It's part of the Roddenberry podcast network. Definitely check it out if you haven't listened to it already. Through that, I started subscribing to his Portal 47, and I've gotten friendly with him since then, and he mentioned that he was going to SoonerCon, so I looked up SoonerCon, and it turned out that it's in Ruthie's hometown, so I'm like, oh.
Yeah, yep.
Yeah.
And apparently this con has been going on for quite some time, and it started way back in the 80s at some point in time, but it kind of fell off for a little while, but then they started up again, and it's been going strong and stronger ever since. And, they recently moved from a conference center location in Midwest City to the, Embassy Suites conference center location in Norman, which is quite literally a 7-minute drive from my house.
Awesome. Nice.
Yeah, it was pretty awesome. And so you told me it's in Norman and that I should go. And I was kind of hem-hawing for a little bit.
Yes, you were.
Like, I don't know about this, blah, blah, blah. So Brian comes back with a, Larry can get you a press pass. And I was like, wait, what? So anyway,
and we should also mention that you have done con as press before, like, yeah. A few years back you did Geekonomicon. Is that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And came to Oklahoma City one time. I don't know what happened to them afterwards.
And you were able to get a bunch of interviews that
lots of different people.
Yeah.
But this was my very first solo interview, like, yes. An interview with no other people or help. Well, no other people for me anyway. She had people, but I had no one. I had no lackeys. It was just me. So I was a little, nervous about that aspect of it. As I was talking to someone else about, it's like, I don't freak out about meeting famous people. I just don't. I don't know. I love meeting people, and I don't feel like they're, I mean, it's super cool to see someone in real life that you've been looking at on your television for so long or on a movie screen or what have you. Like, you can physically reach out and touch them, you know, it's really cool. I don't, but you could. Anyway, yeah, so that part I was not freaked out about, and somebody was telling me, oh, you'll get the hang of it, one of these, you know, you'll just eventually you'll get used to me. And I was like, I was like, you don't understand. I am interviewing this person by myself, and I have to record it.
All right, so we haven't said yet who you interviewed, so why don't you let people know?
For those of you who are fans of Deep Space Nine, you may remember a feisty character by the name of Major Kira Nerys, Nana Visitor. And I got to interview her. It was really cool. She's a lovely, lovely person. It's very warm and friendly and nice, and it was really cool. So yeah.
All right. So anything you want to say before we play that interview? Specific to the interview, I mean.
It was fun.
I think you did a great job, by the way.
Oh, thanks.
Yes. So
cool. Yep. So she was my first solo interview ever. So yay.
Well, you did a great job. But without further ado, here is that interview.
Hi.
Hello.
My name is Ruthie. This is Nana.
Hello.
She is probably best known as Major Kira Nerys. What rank did you end up at? Colonel.
Yes. Colonel Kira.
Colonel Kira at the end of this show. And we are here at SoonerCon 28. In Norman, my hometown. And I'm so excited that you're here.
I am too. I've had a great time.
Good. I'm so glad. So just a little bit more about the SoonerCon. This is the first year in Norman. I don't know if you knew that, but I'm going to tell everybody else too. And they've got two more years at this location. So if you want to come back, we would love to have you.
I would love it. This is a great venue.
Yeah.
And the rooms are terrific. It's all great.
Yeah. Cool. Awesome. So I was at your Q&A yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
It was super fun. And I've got a few more Q&As for you. Speaking about Major Kira, what are you most proud of her character?
I'm most proud that I stuck by my instincts in the early years and didn't soften her. And she had a real arc over the years. And now when people binge watch it, when they can see the arcs of the show, which of course you couldn't back in the day, it's evident. And I'm proud of that.
Yeah, you should be.
Because okay. I got a lot of pushback about being a bitch or, you know, being an unpleasant person. And it's not what people expected from Star Trek. But we were kind of writing our own book there.
Yeah. I mean, said everybody against a strong woman ever. Right. Oh, yeah. That, do you know any other words? I mean, right. Can you not say independent or willful? I mean,
complex.
Complex. Thank you.
Yes.
Complicated past.
Yes.
Went through some stuff.
Right.
I mean, come on.
Right.
All right. So what are you most proud of the show in general, of Deep Space Nine?
That when I started watching it again recently, and that it stands up. Of course, you know, the effects are 90s. There are things about it in those sense, but the writing, the stories, the storytelling is still so compelling.
It is.
And kind of was ahead of its time. I'm terribly proud of that.
Yeah. Again, you should be. It was great. I loved that show so much. In fact, I think one of my favorite TV episodes of TV of all time is from season 6, episode 13, Far Beyond the Stars.
Far Beyond the Stars.
That
could have been a movie,
really. It really could
have. It could have been our movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, thinking about it now, I get goosebumps. It gives me chills. I loved watching. I mean, at the time, it tickled me to see all of the characters and all the actors out of makeup, you know, mm-hmm. doing their thing, being regular old humans, you know, regular Joes, whatever, that kind of stuff. What was it like making that particular episode, not having to be, you know, however long it takes you in the makeup chair and everybody else and all that stuff, but tackling those issues that they did, specifically Major Kira's character? I can't remember what her name was in that particular episode, but
I believe it was Kay.
Kay. Makes sense. Having to write as a man.
Right.
Like, I can't be a woman writing sci-fi. Oh, heaven forbid. And then, of course, you know, Avery Brooks and his issues that he had when he was having to write or what he was writing. Tell us about, like, how you felt doing that. You were talking about the, you know, ahead of its time kind of a thing. That's the episode that I think of.
I remember in the weeks leading up to it all, there was, you know, a rumble of this episode coming up. And it was made for Avery Brooks, that he directed it couldn't have been more right. Mm-hmm. And it was his episode. It was everything about it was his episode. His direction was amazing. And it really, if you look at our show, it's what our show did best. Just kind of take you through this arc to let you see where we are today and how do we feel about these things? And is this okay? Mm-hmm. It's the best kind of storytelling. It allows us to see ourselves. Sure. And, look, I was an actor starting in the '70s. I started, when
no
I was
way.
17.
You can't be that old.
I'm 62. And
she looks wonderful, by the way.
I thank you so much, Ruthie. And I entered the business knowing there were certain rules about women, sure. and having to just go, that's just the way it is. The pay, the treatment, the bordering on abuse and
casting
abuse.
Couch.
Yeah. And going, yeah, well, I wasn't willing to do the casting couch, so I don't get the job. Fair enough. And that's what I used to think. Fair enough.
Yeah.
Instead of outrage, instead of, you know.
Right. Because where is that going to get you, really?
Well, it's getting young women now quite far. Mm-hmm. And I'm thrilled about it. And it's time. But Faye was in that place of, this is what I have to do. I just do it just to get by. Mm-hmm. So I knew that feeling in my own career.
Right.
What I was portraying in that episode. So it was familiar territory, but to be able to show it like that and go, see, does this look right to you, to the audience?
Mm-hmm.
That's very exactly. satisfying.
I can only imagine, because I feel satisfied, you know, watching it and thinking, no, that is not right. That is not, you know, that's not right. And I feel like, yeah, the outrage is getting them everywhere now, but I don't think that they would have gotten the girls that are having the outrage now without people like you saying, no, I'm not going to do that, because you got to put your foot down somewhere and say, you know, this is not okay. And maybe the outrage isn't going to get you anywhere at that point in time, but now it can. So I think it was a stepping stone for sure.
I would love to think that. And it takes a tsunami to really change the topography and hopefully it'll work.
Yeah, but before you have that tsunami, you got to have those earthquakes that shake
right.
stuff up. So.
That's right.
And I think you were a part of that, definitely.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah. When I say I'm like not just going gaga over you because you're here and you're a star, I loved your show. So just throwing that out there, people.
Thank you.
I am not a butt kisser. All right. Now, one thing of your time on Deep Space Nine, is there anything that you wish you would have done differently?
I made a vow. I wish there had been something I could have done differently. I'm not sure there was. I made a vow. I had two children by the middle of it, 4 and 0. Django, my son, was born, during the show. And I made a vow. No one's going to, the show isn't going to suffer for this. My children aren't going to suffer. If anyone does, it's me. And I did. I didn't sleep. I wore myself down to the bone. I wish there had been something differently I could do, because it took me years really to recover from that physically and mentally.
For sure. I mean, you can only go full bear for so long.
That's right.
So, thinking about what we were just talking about, how things are today, how things were back then, how do you think DS9 as a show would be different if it were being made today?
I've thought of that.
In the 90s.
I've thought of that. I don't know. I don't know that I would be on it.
Yeah?
I don't know. Could we have a former terrorist these days?
I don't know.
I don't know. I don't know. Maybe. One thing I do know is,
hey, man, one man's terrorist is another man's freedom fighter.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But if anyone could figure it out, it would be our writers. And if they were writing it today, I'm sure they would make a very compelling case for her being a main character. But I don't know. I don't know how.
And we know it would be different, that's all.
Yeah.
All right, this is a question directly from my co-host, because he had the opportunity to see What You Leave Behind, the documentary. Mm. I have not seen it yet, but I'm looking forward to it. And this is a question for everyone who has seen it and everyone who will see it in the future, because there is a DVD coming in August. He says, I loved the What You Leave Behind end credits and your role in them. What's the one thing you wish they would have kept in the documentary?
Oh, there's so much. No kidding. It's exactly what the credits are about between Ira Stephen Bear and me. I'm just haranguing him. But all the things I say, there's so much that they had to leave out.
Yeah.
Hours and hours and hours. And I'm sure that they will release some of it eventually.
Right.
So that's, yeah, those will be little bonus
extended
things.
Director's cut.
Yeah, yeah. that will be great. But no, it's just endless what they just didn't have time to right. talk about. They had to focus it. And that they focused it on the writer's room, I loved. Because personally, I mean, and this is just completely subjective, I loved seeing what their process was. I never had any idea how they came up with things, how they broke a story. It was fascinating to me.
Yeah.
And I loved the story that they came up with for an eighth season.
Okay. Speaking of the eighth season, if Ira called and said, CBS wants to do a Deep Space Nine season 8, would you be there?
Would Ira?
No, would you? If Ira called and said, hey, CBS.
So Ira's doing it?
Yeah.
And I'm there.
Ira Stephen Bear calls and says, CBS says, we're going to do in season 8. You'd be there?
Yes.
Awesome. What did you think of Kira's new role in the season 8 premiere that they had in the writer's room in the documentary?
No, I loved it. I loved it. To be honest, I wasn't crazy about the fact that she went into a spiritual life in the books. And so I really liked the idea that she came back, you know, kind of blazing to join forces with her old friends for, you know, something. Not that I didn't like her spiritual life. I loved it. But I don't love that she became a Vedic.
Yeah. Well, I haven't seen the show, so I don't know what you're talking about yet.
Yeah.
But I will in August.
But I love what happens in this show. In August, you'll see it.
Well, when the DVD comes out, I'll watch it and be like,
I think you'll really, really enjoy it. I understand people who don't even know Star Trek that much get a lot out of it. Yeah, we were an odd bunch of people. And to see us backstage, it's kind of compelling.
I always like looking at that backstage stuff, though, like how the sausage is made kind of thing. Mm. Super interesting to me anyway.
Yeah, but me too.
I'm still flummoxed that there are people who don't know what Star Trek is. I'm like, are you serious right now?
I know.
How is this still a fringe thing? So, if the producers of Star Trek Picard called and said, hey, we have a role for Kira Nerys on our show.
Oh, that would be so odd. I can't even imagine it. But I'd want to know in
more?
What capacity. Yeah.
Yeah. Or what if it's we have a role for someone?
No, not sure.
Kira?
It wouldn't have to be Kira. It wouldn't have to be Kira, but I'd just like to know what. Because once you've done a role like Kira, you just don't want to mess around in that world with something else.
For sure. I don't think I would like to see you in anything but Kira either. I'd be like, that's not right. I mean, there are some people who get away with it. You know, they wear all the makeup and they play multiple whatever and stuff. Oh, yeah. But the people who have the distinctive voice, I'm like, no, that's that guy from that episode who did that other thing.
Right. Takes you out of it. I understand that.
A little bit, but I feel like I'm much more forgiving to my, hey, these are actors playing a role, mm-hmm. you know, and if you're doing a good job, I'm not going to, I mean, it's just that because my brain in the back of my brain is like, hey, that I remember that guy from that other thing, but the rest of me is like, this is so cool.
Yeah.
Because that's how
But Jeffrey Combs, he can do, I mean, he could probably cast himself completely in a show and do it all by himself. Yeah. He's remarkable.
I agree.
He's a remarkable actor.
They are totally. I mean, J.G. Hertzler, I love his turn.
All our guest stars were ridiculously talented.
They were. I mean, the whole
Andy
cast
Robinson.
Was.
It's hard to think of Andy as a guest because he was really one of us. But there you go.
One of
yeah.
us.
Yeah.
So, those are all the questions I have. Is there anything that you would like to tell us about what you're doing or what you got going on in the future?
I'm still acting. I've got movies out there. I'd love to do television again. I love TV. It's like guerrilla acting, you know. Nice. It's like really down and dirty, and you've got to know what you're doing to get a good performance out. And I love acting under pressure.
Nice.
So movies are a little too slow for me. So I'm hoping to work in TV again.
Oh, that reminds me. You had a brief stint on another of my favorite sci-fi shows, Dark Angel.
Yes.
Loved that show.
I did too.
You were so great in it.
I loved it.
So I've heard rumblings that there might be a Dark Angel, I don't know, reboot, reimagining or anything. Have you heard
with
anything
James
about
Cameron
that?
Involved?
I don't know about him.
Yeah.
But that I mean, would have to be.
That would be really important.
Yeah, I think so.
When I sat down to hear about my character, I was like, because
Madame
I
X.
was doing Chicago, the musical on Broadway at that time, and they hired me to do this job in Vancouver, so they would give me one day off, and I had a day off already from Broadway. Mm-hmm. So I would fly and do all my scenes at once and then fly back. And so I was doing two jobs on two different coasts with two little boys that I was raising by myself. And it was a little insane.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, I'm not sure I want to do this. And then I sat down with James Cameron and heard what he had in store for the character. And I went, oh, yes, please.
I know.
She was hundreds of years old.
Yeah.
You know, which no one ever talked about because we didn't get that far before he left the show. So, and then they turned it into a kiddie show the second year.
I still like the second year, but not as much as the first year. The first year was just, what's happening? But the beginning of the second season was kind of like, what's going on? And then they kind of evened out a little bit and they sort of were going to go in a direction that I was really excited for. And of course the show was canceled. So what are you going to do?
Right.
But still, it's still one of my favorites of all time. And every time I watch it, I see you and I'm like, that's Major Kira.
Yeah, it was a great experience. I loved it. I loved it.
All right.
So I'll hope for your sake that they reboot Dark Angel.
Well, I have mixed feelings about reboots. Sometimes I think, don't destroy my baby. But then other times, you know, so.
I give it a shot.
Yeah, I usually do, but we'll see. You never know what's going to happen. Sometimes reboot is great, and sometimes I'm like, no, just no.
I get it.
Anyway, what are you going to do? Thank you so much.
Oh, my pleasure.
My name is Ruthie, and I am talking to Nana Visitor for the Star Trek Discovery Podcast. All things Star Trek, live long and prosper. I can't make my hand do it.
There you go.
There we go.
There you go.
Okay, so a left-hand fail, right-hand awesome.
It was a pleasure, Ruthie. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
All right. So, Ruthie, that was an amazing interview.
Thanks. I try not to make a fool of myself. Yeah, she was awesome. She was awesome. lots of good stuff to say.
Yeah, it sounded like it. And it sounds like she hasn't lost a step.
No. And I mean, I just wouldn't. I was 25 years ago, right? So Deep Space Nine was 25 years ago. And I mean, you'd hardly know it other than the fact that her hair is a different color now. But, you know, that's pretty much it. I mean, she's blonde. She was a redhead. Hey, whatever. But yeah, it's I think one of the things that and for those of you who have not yet seen that documentary, as I have not, some of those questions might make more sense after you watch that. I guess there's a DVD coming out in August. So look for that. What was it called again, Brian?
What We Left Behind, I believe it's called.
I believe that is correct.
Yes.
Anyway.
And I did see it. So some of the questions that come up in that you just heard were, you know, stuff that I fed to Ruthie, even though I couldn't be there.
Right. And but, I told her, I said, yeah. I haven't had a chance to watch the documentary. Well, you heard.
Yeah.
Anyway. So yeah, it was fun. Now that was on Sunday and the day dawned stormy and rainy as it does here. It rains sideways sometimes. And that's what was going on. So I had my umbrella and yeah, it was fun. So that was Sunday. On Saturday, I got to go to one of the panel type things. It wasn't really a panel. It was just a Q&A with Larry and Nana on Saturday. And I recorded that. And we have that audio as well.
Yes. And here that is. Editor's note. Fortunately, as of the time of publishing this episode, we do not yet have the permission to publish the audio from that Q&A session. We hope to include it at a later date, but unfortunately, that recording, which is about 52 minutes or so, we can't include. So sorry about that. Figured it would be easier to explain it than to try to edit that out. Back to our discussion.
I was going to say there are, you might have noticed or been thinking that there were questions that were not, I didn't ask in the interview. It's because I believe she kind of covered that a little bit in the Q&A.
Yeah.
So if you're thinking while you're listening to the interview, why didn't she ask this? Probably because it was asked in the Q&A. And why repeat yourself? I only have a limited amount of time.
Right. Well, that was my take as well when, because I listened to the interview first and like, oh, she didn't say that. She didn't say that. And then I realized, oh, we have this other thing. Okay. Well, that's why she didn't ask that question.
Yeah. Yeah. Pretty much. Because let's ask the questions that have not already been asked and answered.
Well, the one I liked you putting in was the Far Beyond the Stars. That was really good. Yeah, that's one of my favorite episodes of Deep Space Nine.
And I think it's one of my favorite episodes of TV ever. I love that episode.
Yeah.
Still do.
Yeah, and it ages really well. I watched it a few months back, and it's still really good. It really is just as relevant today as it was, you know, and, you know, 20 some odd years ago. So, okay. So that's our coverage of Nana Visitor. What about the conference in general? Like what was it like? How many people attended it?
I don't know exactly. The space was full. If you're familiar with any of the convention centers in Oklahoma City metro area, this is not quite as big as the Cox Convention Center, but apparently it is twice as big as the space that they had in Midwest City. Hmm. And they were bursting the seams of the space in Midwest City. And so they were able to come here to Norman and have basically just fill up twice the space. So however many people that is, I don't know. It was a lot of people. And I mean, all kinds of different stuff. And frankly, I had never even heard of this SoonerCon thing before this.
Yeah.
You know, I just didn't even realize that this was a thing around. You know, Midway City isn't that far away, but it's not that close. It's closer than, say, San Diego, but, you know.
It's what, on the other side of?
It's not 7 minutes, okay?
Right.
Right. Oh, gosh. No, I mean, it's amazing how many things are right in your back door that you don't even know about.
Right.
You know, so you might look around your own neighborhood and see what's going on and what kind of stuff is out there for genre fans and see if there's anything going on, because you never know. They might have a cool guest like Nana. Pretty awesome.
What were there any discovery sessions there?
They did have a few things about discovery. They had, I mean, it was very Trek friendly. Larry had a Portal 47 meetup for his people. He also had a Trekland 2019 Disco Fever. Are you catching it? Panel. There was a Science in Star Trek.
Oh.
Panel.
That would have been interesting.
That I went to. Yeah, it was pretty cool. I did not do as much stuff on Sunday, honestly, because as soon as I was finished with the interview, I was shot full of adrenaline and just like razzed for a little while. Larry again had the State of the Trek 2019 thing that I went to the tail end of because I was in the interview at the beginning of it. But yeah, they have they have an exhibitor hall. They had a gaming hall. They had lots of cosplay stuff. They had, you know, it's not just specific to comics or specific to TV or movies or this, that, or whatever. I mean, they have book things. They had a Muggle Quidditch, libraries in the digital age. They had costume contests. They had workshops. They even had workshops on podcasting.
Oh.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. I met up with a couple of guys at the Podcasting 102 with Red Six Podcast. These are a couple of local guys who have a podcast about funny, geeky stuff. And that was lots of fun. I went in there because I kind of wanted to meet those guys and network a little bit, you know, find out what's going on with other people who are doing the same thing that we're doing. And it was lots of fun. They also have like writing workshops. They have a thing. I guess they have a thing that starts on Friday where they are doing they write a terrible book or something.
Oh, yeah.
All I can think of is artist. They
illustrate it.
Illustrate. Thank you. It's late at night, folks. I'm tired. My brain quits working about 9 o'clock and it's 9:51. Anyway, yeah, it's some kind of terrible book thing or something. I don't know. It's a terrible something. I can't remember exactly what it's called. And I can't find it immediately, of course. But anyway, I think that's what it is. They write a horrible book or something on Friday, and then on Saturday they illustrate it, I think. And I don't know. Anyway, that kind of fun stuff. They've, you know, so it's writing, it's movies, it's comics, it's TV, it's cosplay, it's gaming.
I guess the question would be, do you plan to go next year?
Yes. They have Doctor Who stuff, Star Trek stuff, Star Wars stuff. You know, again, they got the Quidditch for Muggles thing, all kinds of stuff. 3D printer demo. I mean, ooh, you name it, they've got it. I know Jedi OKC, Oklahoma City Star Wars fan and collectors club is one thing. Local artists, local authors, lots of local stuff. So if you think that there is anything like that in your area Or if you wonder, you should try and find something because it's really cool. And they are going to be in this Norman location for 2 more years. So they've got a contract there. So, oh, here it is. SoonerCon Midnight, worst book ever. So, yeah, they start that on Friday night, and then I think they illustrate it on Saturday. Anyway, yeah.
Yeah. I heard Larry talking about that. It sounded really fun.
Yeah. Yeah. It did sound kind of fun. So, yeah. It's right in a pretty easy to get to location. It's kind of right off the freeway, off I-35. And SoonerCon.com is how you can find more information from there. We had people from, I met a guy from Kansas who came down. I met a guy from Texas who came up. So lots of different areas that can kind of pop on over. It's not that far, about 2.5 hours away from Dallas, about 2 hours from Wichita. So,
yeah, I think two guys that you met for sure were, I think, Dean and Mark.
Yep.
Yeah. And Dean is pretty pro discovery, and Mark is pretty anti discovery.
Yeah, Dean actually told me that he listened to our podcast, and I was like, oh, hey. So, hi, Dean.
How you doing, Dean?
Anyway.
Yeah, Yeah, it's cool. Yeah, they're both members of Portal 47. And that's that. If you want to join that, and I'm a member, I mentioned Larry's got some great, like 3 times a month does these sessions. He has people from like the makers of Star Trek, you know, like stunt people, writers. He had this one guy on recently, the heck's his name, Fred Bronson, who wrote for the animated series. He wrote for Next Gen. He was one of the people that wrote Menage a Troy. And he also used to work for Bob Hope and Dick Clark. And
nice.
Like he's a guy that if you like watched New Year's Rockin' Eve, every year his name was in the credits. And I used to see this guy and I'm like, I wonder what he's doing as a writer for these things. And I'm like, gee, that sounds like that guy. It turns out that he's the same guy. I never knew, but he was fun. Really interesting to talk to, but he had on, Dennis Madelone. I don't know if you recognize that guy's name, but he was a stunt coordinator. He's had a couple of the extras on, you know. Anyway, really interesting. And then a couple times a month, he also like does like a call-in show. He does one during the day and one at night. And it's really good. So if you're interested in that, just give Larry a plug. Go to portal47.net and check it out.
Yeah.
But anyway, one final question I'll have for you as far as SoonerCon. What was your favorite session beyond the Nana session?
Honestly, I did not get to stay there as long as I had wanted to, but I did enjoy the science and Star Trek thing. But my dad was there with my baby brother, and he was kind of fussing a little bit, so I didn't get to stick around in that for a while. He fell asleep. I started rocking him, and he fell asleep, so we went back in, and then he woke up suddenly about halfway through. I think there are like 10 minutes left or something, so I got the middle section of it, and then, well, I got the whole middle to the end because my dad left, but I stayed. And it turns out, this is really funny, that one of the panelists on that panel was a lady who taught a class when I was at the University of Oklahoma doing, just getting my bachelor's. And she taught a class called The Metaphysics of Star Trek. And I took that class and I recognized her. I was like, hey, did you teach this class? And she was like, yeah, I did. And I was like, I took that class. So apparently she did it, I don't know, two or three times or something when she was a grad student. So yeah, I still have the textbook for that. It's called Is Data Human? It was a fun class. It came out, or I went to that class like right around the time that the second Matrix movie came out. And we were covering a lot of the same topics that are covered in those movies. So we decided to take a class field trip and we went to go see the second Matrix movie for one of our classes. It was an intersession class, which is a class that is a, like, instead of being your normal 3 hours a week kind of a thing, like a Monday, Wednesday, Friday class for an hour, it was basically a 3 week class, 4 hours a day kind of a thing. So getting that whole, instead of whatever it is, like 20 weeks, 3 hours a week kind of a thing, we kind of did it all like smushed together in a 4 hour increment, 4 hours a day. Those classes are pretty fun usually. They usually end up being pretty fun. So yeah, that one was fun, especially the field trip to go see The Matrix.
Cool. Yeah. All right. So we're going to start to wrap it up. And whether or not I put this in will depend upon how you answer this question. So we do have, we're not going to do a full news segment, but I will bring up a shipwide announcement. All right. Well, since we last did an episode, and of course we did three episodes in one.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was a marathon. As a
boy, howdy,
an interesting way to spend Easter Sunday. yeah.
Yep.
But anyway, since we had that come out, of course, unless you've been living under a rock, you would know that we have a title for the Picard series, and it is Star Trek Picard.
Oh, go figure.
And a week later, they released the trailer for Star Trek Picard, a teaser trailer. Now, I have a feeling the answer is going to be no. So I'm going to ask you, Ruthie, have you seen the trailer?
Yes, I have, actually.
You have?
Yes.
I can't believe it.
Well, my dad was asking me about it, so I showed it to him. I was like, he's, you know, peppering me with questions, like I am the fount of all knowledge. And I was like,
well,
we don't know because nothing is known. So I don't know because there is nothing to know.
Right.
Except for what you see in the trailer, which lasts, what, 10 seconds or something? I don't know. It's very short.
Well, yeah. I mean, the whole trailer itself is 1 minute and 9 seconds. But,
oh, okay.
But, well, but as far as you seeing the trailer, I'll at least say this. So how many times have you seen it?
Just that one time. I don't Zapruder the trailers the way that you do, okay?
Yes.
I don't freeze frame.
How many times have I seen it?
How many times have you seen it, Brian?
53. Oh, I'm not. That is not an exaggeration. I have seen it 53 times. So yes.
So what can you tell us? Clearly my father was asking the wrong person about this trailer.
Well, it was released on the 25th anniversary of the series finale of Next Gen, which was, of course, All Good Things. And that starts in the same winery. So that's, of course, the, you know, Picard winery that we see in Family, Season 4, Episode 2. Mm-hmm. And so it's, you know, it's supposedly 15 years after Picard led some big armada, which we can assume is the armada to save the Romulans from the supernova that's going to wipe out the system. And based on what is said in the trailer, there's some big the unimaginable is the what the voiceover says. And whatever happened, it seems like he lost faith in Starfleet or himself or both, and he retired. And it seems like he's coming back now, whether or not he's rejoining Starfleet or he's just simply got some mission to do, we don't know. But that seems to be the basis of it. And I thought that, well, obviously, since I've seen the damn thing 53 times, it is very, very well done. Very respectful of the character and the things that we've seen in the past. And I absolutely can't wait.
Yeah.
And what about you?
I'm excited, but I mean, I love Captain Picard. He might be my favorite, but honestly, I cannot say, because as I was talking to more Star Trek fans on Sunday about, Star Trek, and they were talking about watching all of the series. And I guess, strangely, they started with Voyager, and I think, I'm not quite sure, they might have to correct me about that, but they were waiting to watch Discovery until they had finished with, I think, Deep Space Nine. And I think they had already seen Voyager.
Okay.
Which is why I think they started with Voyager. I'm pretty sure they've already seen Next Gen. And they were going to wait to do Enterprise until after they watched Discovery. So anyway, I was talking to them.
They're doing it in a weird order.
I know. I was like, well, that's very interesting. It's very unique. Me, I like to watch things in order, even when they're airing at the same time. I watch the episodes in the episode order that they aired.
Yeah.
If TNG aired an episode and then DS9 aired an episode, I'll watch it in that order. Thank you very much.
Same with me.
Anyway, so I was telling them about, I was telling them about the podcast and that they should, check it out when they start watching Discovery, but not to listen until after they had seen everything, because we pretty much assume that everybody has watched all of the Star Trek that is available and might spoil some stuff. So sorry if that's not the case. But anyway, I was talking to them and I said, I'm pretty sure that whatever series I happen to be watching at the time, that's my favorite captain. Like, I'm watching The Next Generation and Captain Picard is my favorite captain. I'm watching Deep Space Nine and Sisko is my favorite captain, and I'm watching Voyager, and Janeway is my favorite captain. You know, it just really depends on who I'm watching and what is going on. I can't really choose. I love Deep Space Nine though, but Next Generation, I think, is kind of my baby, I think. Yeah. But I love Deep Space Nine, and Captain Sisko is so amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, I would say it's hard to rank them. Like, I have been very vocal about how much I love Pike this season of Discovery, and he's right up there with Picard, mm-hmm. I think. And the only reason why I can't say, well, he's my favorite is because there hasn't been as many episodes to love him with. You know, he's like my current lover, which sounds terrible, but anyway, he's my current captain. But you know, in preparation for Picard, I'm doing a Next Gen watch right now. I'm still in season one, and I was telling you before how I'm finding, maybe it's because I find it comfort food. And it's been a while since I've watched season one. Season one, I'm not finding it sucking as much as I thought it would. Parts of it definitely suck, but there's a lot good there.
Kind of like cringe.
Yeah. Yeah. But there's a lot of it there that's really good. And it really made me appreciate how, like, I fell in love with the characters of TNG. you know, just based on season one. And like right now I'm up to Skin of Evil. And of course that's a landmark episode in that it, you know, a character dies in it. If you spoiler, I'm going to spoil something 31 years old.
Spoiler.
Yeah.
It's but, Tasha Yar.
Yes, Tasha Yar. But anyway,
rhymes with tar.
But it's been good to go back to that. But you know, I'll say as far as Discovery is concerned, I have I'm still loving season two, but I am appreciating more of sort of the missteps of it. I can look at it more dispassionately and just how things, there's certain things that they could have done better. So when we finally get to talk about Discovery and do the roundtable of that, we'll talk more about those things. But they're all things that we talked about during the season. It's just, I'm just remembering them a little clearer now.
Right.
You know,
for sure.
So, okay, so that's going to be it for this episode. Hopefully you enjoyed Ruthie's interview, and
yeah,
thank you for doing that. I wish I could have been there with you.
Oh, yeah, it was a blast. One of these days, we're going to have to go to Star Trek Las Vegas.
Yeah, hopefully next year we'll make it out there, and and we are starting a Patreon. We haven't officially launched it yet, but we are in the works for Patreon. So,
and that will hopefully do things like fund a trip to Star Trek Las Vegas and hopefully get more interviews like this one.
Yes, that's what we hope to do. And so we will have the information about the Patreon going forward, and we're going to do monthly content for that. So hopefully you will you'll be interested and join up, listen to us on monthly content, and as we build that Patreon, we'll do more. So all right, so that's it for this episode. So Ruthie, why don't you tell people how to contact us?
All right. First, I'm going to say real quick, to find more information about SoonerCon, again, go to SoonerCon.com. You can find them on Twitter, hashtag SoonerCon28 for all of the hashtags, or for all the people who are on Twitter and hashtagging. I don't know what their ad is for Twitter, sorry, but SoonerCon.com. You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/groups/StarTrekDiscoveryPodcast. We are on Twitter at StarTrekGSM. If you want to give us theories and feedback, go to goldenspiralmedia.com/feedback. You can give us text audio, or you can use a SpeakPipe widget to give audio. You can also call us at 304-837-2278 to leave a voicemail. Just make sure you say what podcast you're calling in for. You can also email us, StarTrekGSM@gmail.com. So join us on Facebook. Sometimes we tweet. Brian's better at tweeting than I am.
Good way to support us is to write us a review on Apple Podcasts. You can go to goldenspiralmedia.com/apple to find all of the podcasts within the Golden Spiral Media Network. While you're there, give us a rating or review. And I wanted to address, we had talked about one of the reviews last time, and we actually got a review about the review. So I wanted to just address MELESSE821 again. That person gave us a three-star review. They upped it from a two. So I guess thank you for giving us a higher review than your higher rating than you did. And we got a couple of people that said that I was pretty hard on them, or we were, but I'll single out myself. And I want to explain it. Of the parts that I thought were positive or constructive, I would agree. We didn't agree with the whole, you know, joking kind of thing, because I think that's a big part of our podcast. But the thing that set me off was the use of the word trolling, which to me, I do not want to be associated in any way with being an internet troll. And to me, if you call what I'm doing trolling, you're calling me a troll. And that's kind of why I kind of went off on it. And Ruthie just kind of let me go. So I wanted to explain myself, but that was the thing that really set me off. So, you know, if I was unnecessarily harsh or seemed close-minded, that's why. Since then, we got 2 5-star reviews, one from Talise and one from Don M132. Now, I think I might have at least mentioned one of those two in between the, like, because we recorded episode 39, 40, and 41 in the same session. And I think I added at least one of those reviews in episode 41 as an additional thing I added to the recording. But we also got, since then, we got a review from Wink467. And that person said that we can't take constructive criticism and specifically mentioned our reaction to Melissa A21. So I just want to say to Wink467, I think that what you're saying in this review about us going way off topic and sometimes going too long, that's constructive. We'll take that under advisement, and that's constructive. And I want to thank you for being constructive. Again, it wasn't the fact that the last one wasn't constructive. It was that it set me off because of the use of trolling. But what you said in this review, I take it positively. I'm sorry that you've not liked us as often. It sounds like you're still listening to us. So I guess for that, thank you. And hopefully we can, you know, we can do better. But I did want to address those two reviews.
All right.
If you want to help us other ways, you can go to goldenspiralmedia.com/support and look for our Patreon announcement coming soon. We'll probably have it out within the next couple of podcasts. So, but that's definitely coming. All right. So our next episode is either going to be one of two. It's going to be either, just depending on scheduling, we're either going to do the Discovery Season 2 roundtable that we've been promising, or we're going to do the episode that covers the long-form feedback that we've received. So you'll be getting that. Those will be episode 43 and 44. So it should be coming soon. We'll be coming out more regular now that my mother-in-law is no longer in Florida. I basically had to stop everything I was doing while she was here. Not because of it, just too much to
house do. House guest.
Yes. And too difficult to podcast while she was here. So.
Right. And plus, it's kind of impolite when someone comes to visit you and you're doing something else that they can't do.
Exactly. That was the main thing. So.
Yeah. Not all just right. The fact that it was his mother-in-law.
Yeah.
It's a visitor.
Could have been anybody.
Right.
Right.
That's just who it was.
Yeah. And it was, we had a good time. It was good to have her here. So.
Yeah. Insert mother-in-law jokes here.
Yes, I will say. All right. That's it for now. So we'll be back soon. Well, we should have another episode coming out in the next couple of weeks. Until then, I'm Brian.
And I'm Ruthie.
Peace and long life.
Live long and prosper.